Fractional shares trading is now available for all Fidelity customers on the Fidelity mobile app. Buy U.S. stocks and ETFs commission-free based on how much you want to spend instead of buy the share. Fractional share quantities can be entered out to 3 decimal places as long as the value of the order is at least 1 cent. Dollar-based trades can be entered out to 2 decimal places. Sell orders are subject to an activity assessment fee from $0.01 to $0.03 per $1,000 of principal. Fidelity Brokerage Services, member NYSE, SIPC.
Hey, it's Ben, Henry, and Marcus, hosts of The Last Podcast on the Left.
Our show's dedicated to uncovering hilariously horrifying stuff.
And now we're only on Spotify.
Join us.
If you want. Obviously, we'd never force anyone to just blindly
join us.
That'd be crazy!
But if you like stories about doomsday cults who do exactly that and more, please
join us
on Spotify. Visit Spotify.com/lastpodcast to listen free.
Hi, y'all. I'm Julie.
Hi there. I'm Brenda. Welcome to Insider's Guide to the Other Side.
Now, y'all need to know that we're obsessed with everything on the other side.
Yes, we are. Because once you learn to navigate the energetic, or to some, the invisible world, life is going to be more fun and much more serene.
Heck yes, it can. Because let's be honest, Bryn, Earth School is hard. In fact, you taught me that.
Let's crush Earth School together.
Welcome to Insider's Guide to the Other Side, a production of iHeartRadio.
So, Brenda, I'm not sure that I know. I'm going to stick all my ratty hair up anyway. What is it that you what do you do? Because I don't know.
What's your superpower?
What's your superpowers?
You know, I am a reader. I'm a reader. I love tarot. Right, I have my own deck of tarot that I love. The beauty of tarot. I'm a tarot teacher. Love teaching. Have hundreds of students all over, and I do hands-on healing. I'm certified in a bunch of modalities. And I work as an executive coach. And so a lot of, you know, people who hire me are actually coaching clients that come to me for the next level, right? And they're like, oh, I love how you weave the coaching in with the reading. Like, instead of like staying at this level, you actually activate what comes through in a way that is accessible. So that's one thing I hear a lot of. I'm a yoga teacher. I do something called spirit messages, which is just a public demonstration of mediumship, right? Just giving messages from loved ones who've passed on. So, you know. Cookie cutter reader healer.
You are not cookie cutter. Good Lord. And she's very humble.
So that's probably why she can be successful at what she does. I don't think we can, any of us can do spiritual work and not have, I mean, you have to have some ego because it makes it fun, but you have to have, balance it out, a good taste of humility, because otherwise you can't hear spirit.
That's real.
So,
and there are a lot of those out there.
Right. Isn't that why so many people can't tap into their gifts? Because, well, there's lots of reasons. One is they don't quiet the mind, but I think maybe another reason that you just brought up is that there's an arrogance, and so they just can't get through that wall of arrogance.
Well, I'd say arrogance and fear, right?
Well, you know, if you can't quiet the mind, the reason you can't quiet the mind is because the mind is in a fearful state. And the mind would be in a fearful state because the ego has already been engaged and it's not allowing the spiritual aspect of the person to evolve or to have some kind of breadth of speaking to the person itself. So the ego then takes over and we lose, once the ego goes, we lose the humility or the any concept of humility that the person can possibly have.
I think we've already started our show. So maybe what I should do is do a quick introduction so everybody knows who's talking. Our special guest today, and I emphasize the word special, is Patricia Bankins. And we really wanted to have Patricia on today because she's the one who was the originator, the one who did the channeling for our first COVID-19 piece. So for you, the listeners, that's how you got to know her. But Patricia is also one of my teachers, one of my masters. She's Master P. So she's one of my master teachers. And I've learned so much from you, Patricia. And I could spend the whole time just totally telling you how wonderful you are. But I think we'll let actually you speak soon so everybody else can hear how wonderful that you are. So we called today's episode, Take It to the Bank, ends because I think I'm funny. Because I've noticed that anything that I learn from Patricia, I could theoretically take it to the bank. And I can take it to my own soul bank, I guess, is probably the best way to say it. So, Patricia, welcome. We've already been talking. I think the first part of the conversation that we were having is so invaluable. And today we're talking about channeling.
You know, the funny thing to me is, you know, I talked about fear when it comes to channeling because it is complete and utter surrender.
Absolutely.
And you have to have faith, right? You have to have faith to be able to surrender completely, not into something unknown. You don't have control over it. It's something you actually know, which is, I'm going to be taken care of. This spirit is coming in. It's unseen. You don't know maybe the form it's always going to take, but you know that it's something bigger than you is coming in. And that's the invitation to surrender into that.
Don't you think, though, that in order to have that trust or to have that faith, it takes a number of hiccups? You know, it takes a number of times where you doubted yourself. I mean, I know how many times I've done it, you know, and I've reached the place where I used to like play games with spirit to see if they really were accurate. You know, it's like when spirit tells you, don't go down that street. And everybody has this one where something says, don't go here or don't go there. Or, you know, you don't want to talk to this. Don't pick up the phone, you know, whatever that piece is. And you go, oh, and you disregard it completely. Now that's again, mm-hmm. the ego. Mm-hmm. And you pick up the phone and it's the bill collector, you know, or you go down that street and there's an accident, you know, whatever it is, we're all given yep. those little nuances of spirit saying, we're here, we're trying to guide you. And then you go, well, I don't know, really, I think I'll just do it my way. And that's where the glitch comes in. You know?
Oh, I hear you on that. One of my favorite, you know, I know better stories is when I was visiting Dallas after I'd left there, and I was in a bookstore with the guy I was dating, and I hear this voice say, look up. That's all it said is look up. And I thought, if he wants to come find me, he can come find me. I'm not going to go find him. I'm not going to track him down one more time. I'm reading this book. I'm having a good time. So like all ego, all little power play tricks, right? I look up 10 minutes later, my handbag is gone.
Right? Yes. I know that
yeah,
one.
Yeah. Like,
did you say I know that one?
I know that one. Yeah. Yeah. So I had a, years ago, I was up in San Francisco. I was doing a class and it was late. By the time I was done, I was going to be driving down from San Francisco. You know, it's a 5.5-6 hour drive to Los Angeles. And I had overstayed my welcome in San Francisco. And I had a friend that was living, you know, somewhere between San Francisco and closer to San Francisco, like Santa Cruz or something. And Spirit said, you know, just, I could hear that voice. Call her. She would love to have you. And I was like, no, I'm good. I can drive down. Now, this is like pure ego. You can do it. You know, I knew I could do it. And so what I did was I always have a pendulum in the car, in the console. So, you know, while driving down the streets of San Francisco, I take my pendulum, you know, the strength and your weakening, high is good, not high is good. You know, should I drive? And it's like, it keeps saying, go to see Virginia, go to see Virginia, go to, and I did it one more time. And it was like, don't go to see Virginia. And I went, see, I knew I was right. Now that was like 8 out of 1 time. And I listened to the one time and I got home at 3:30 in the morning. The next day I was sick as a dog because I had exhausted my immune system.
Yeah.
And then I said to Spirit, how could you have let this happen? And Spirit said, because you needed to learn the lesson. You know, and after that, it's like, okay, if you say go right, I will go right because yeah, I pushed good. The envelope and they just went, you know, here's a bitch slap for you.
Yeah, exactly.
I got
yeah.
a tiny slap because I listen to Spirit better than I do other humans, except you two. You two are probably the only humans, you and my wife, that I actually listen to regularly.
I listen to Suzanne too, just FYI.
Yeah, no, we all listen to Suzanne. Oh, great. Now she's going to listen to this, get a big old head, and I'm dead.
We love us some Suzanne.
But this was early on, actually. I think, Patricia, it was at the time when I was taking transcrystal therapy from you. So in terms of years, it was earlier in my journey. And I remember I was getting ready to go to work, and I looked down, and I saw this pair of shoes, and I heard, put your shoes away. And then it proceeded to say, the dog's going to get it. And I'm like, oh, We had not had a dog eating a shoe ever. Keep in mind, ever. So I ignored it. And I'm like, oh, pfft.
Nice.
Right? I come home from work. The dog ate my damn shoes. And I'm like, noted. Noted. So if you say don't cross the street, if you say don't pick up your phone, there's going to be an accident. Fine. I'm not going to do any of that crap. I hear you loud and clear. So, you know, we've kind of dove in head first, which I love. But just for the purpose of the listeners, I think that there's big distinctions between mediumship and channeling. So we've been talking about probably a bit more on the mediumship side, because I don't think I've ever channeled. If I have, they've been little moments and I had no idea what I was doing. But Brenda's shaking her head up and down. That's why I love having video while we do this. So what I'd like to do is, Patricia, why don't you tell us what channeling is and how is it different than mediumship?
Okay. You know, these are those terms that I think everybody has. It's like feelings and emotions. They each have an identity. Some people say feelings are this, some say, you know. So I think mediumship and channeling many times gets crossed over from that perspective. Channeling for me is when I am actually, I go out of my body. I take the essence of who I am out of my body and I sit up in my Merkaba. So now there's a word people can look up. But I sit up in the Merkaba and a spirit comes through. I love it. Brenda's showing us her Merkaba. And I always thought it was bigger than that, Brenda. But anyway. And
there's going to be a lot of psychic humor today, folks. A lot of psychic humor.
And then I allow spirit, the spirit that I've chosen to come through that in other words, I have a spirit being that I work with. I have different beings that I've worked with through the years. But that spirit being will then come into my vehicle or my physical body and reside probably down about at fourth chakra. And then that being takes over the energy and the brain. You know, and my joke is always, I'm so sorry to these beings because, you know, I read trash. And I love romance novels, so they don't have a lot to work with. But
is awesome.
But anyway, then they speak and answer the question. So the trick always with that then is to make sure that my ego, again, is out of the body. So part of how I was trained to take different aspects, and that would be we could have a whole discussion on chakras. But I take out second chakra, which is the emotional chakra, because I don't need that one to involve itself. I bypass third chakra because what I'm taking out is what is now still has an semblance of control. So I take out second chakra, fourth chakra, which is my, you know, divine nature. And then I take out sixth chakra, which is my intuitive platform. And those are the aspects that I allow to go out of the body and to sit up in the Merkaba. So what's interesting always for me is like when I come back into my body and people will say, well, what was that? You know, what they'll ask questions. It's like, if you ask me right away, I still have enough connection to spirit that spirit will be able to come. In other words, I can do a co-residency. They can, meaning both of us are now using this platform or this vehicle. And that
known as your body.
I can, exactly. I can answer.
Yeah.
But if you ask me the day afterwards or after that, it's like, I have no idea because it's like a dream. Right. So it's like when you wake up in the morning, you've had a specific dream. If I journal it right away, I have the memory of it. You know, I have the cognizance. I've taken it from the unconscious mind into the conscious aspect.
Or sometimes something will trigger during the day. You're like, oh yeah, that's right. Right.
You might remember it. Exactly.
Yeah.
But so it's like a dream. But if you don't ask me right away, it's gone. Like the dream is gone. So
Yeah. It's funny because I was trained slightly differently to make space in the body. But to pull everything in. So I might reside like in my left ear or something. Like you like literally just pull it all in to create space for whoever's coming through. That's how I was taught. I didn't have to leave the vicinity. So it's slightly differently, but you know, still making that space and watching, you know, being able to observe what happens in a slight haze is how I describe it. So when you come back, when, you know, for me expanding back into the full space, it's like, whoa, I got to figure out these hands. Like, whoa, that's, you know, it's very trippy.
Breathing is always like, I have to practice the breathing part. It's like,
right.
Okay, I'm breathing again. I'm breathing the whole time I'm channeling, but I have to like, okay, now I am consciously breathing within my body so that I have a recognition of the cells.
Nice.
All right. So a question from the pedestrian on the line. So Brenda, I've actually never seen you channel. I've seen video of Patricia channel, and we're going to get into that story in just a minute. But my question is, so when I saw Patricia, like your voice changed, mm-hmm. everything about your demeanor changed. If I would have seen that and then met you afterwards, I'd been like, no, that's not the same person.
Yeah.
Do you do the same, Brenda? Does your voice change? Do you take on that entity?
So that's actually not a question for me, right? That would be a question for someone else. My impression is that I know my pacing changes. I speak more quickly than when I channel. That's what I know.
Because what I do know with you has been, actually with your mediumship, mm-hmm. I remember the first encounter we had with that almost, mm-hmm. 9 years ago, you sounded like Mona. It was weird. I remember looking at Suzanne and she's like, she sounds like Mona. I said, I know she sounds like Mona. That's crazy. So that's why I was really curious if you brought on, because Patricia, with you, when I watched you, when you did the channeling in Paris, and it was Lady Diana.
Princess Diana, absolutely. Yeah. But now I don't, the way that works, at that time I was working with Saint Germain. Mm-hmm. So that was an interesting platform for me to work with, because I don't, like with mediumship, and correct me, but this is mediumship, is I have access to different spirit beings, and those spirit beings then can speak through me, but they're not in me. They're just speaking through me. So, correct. I do mediumship also.
So, I wanted to talk about that, because do you have the same experience every once in a while when I'm doing a reading, all of a sudden, just like that, 45 minutes is gone. And, I come back in, I'm like, you guys got to give me something. Like, where do I pick up this conversation? Because somehow all of a sudden I'm just gone and I don't know what transpired. And the client seems very satisfied and very grateful. And I'm like,
aren't you lucky?
Oh man, what happened? Yeah, it's super intense. And I don't really like that. It makes me a little uncomfortable. And mostly because it's like, hey, that's not what was on my calendar.
Right.
Obviously, as long as they're happy, we're good to go. But it's kind of wild.
For me, mediumship is, I don't lose consciousness.
Yeah, most of the time I don't.
I simply have access to another dimension, another realm, and another, level of depth of communication, but I'm still here. So it's not fully I started off doing what we called co-residency, mm-hmm. meaning I stayed fully within my body.
Right.
And you said you go into your ear, I was taught to kind of like step back in my body and let spirit kind of come through. So the two of us were residing together. That's co-residency.
Yeah.
Mediumship, they're not really in. I'm simply conveying the information that they're giving me. What it looks like for me, it's like those screens they have in the banks. I don't know if they have them anywhere. But, when the news goes by, it's like the words go by. That's what it looks like. But it's moving so quickly that it's not that I'm reading. I'm just being given the information very quickly, on a sentence.
Like a UN translator, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yes, exactly like that. Or I get a picture, then I have to translate the picture.
Yeah. I'm talking, and then I say to the client, does this make sense? As I'm saying to the spirit, did I get it right?
Right.
Do you need to edit anything I just blurted out here?
Yeah.
So I'm really curious then why do we, when I say we, I mean you guys, it's like when I talk about how, we have people over for dinner, I'm like, well, we'll cook. And by that, I mean, Suzanne will cook. So the
Peter
role
does
we,
that shit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. I know. Peter and I, we are cut from the same cloth.
You are.
We are. For sure. I tend to be cut from the same cloth as people's husbands. It's very odd. So why do we channel? Like if you can you get the same information from a Saint Germain, from a divine mother of the galactic universe? Can you get the same information by being in your body, or must you either go into your ear or go into your Merkaba? Or I've heard people say they sit on a bench outside of their seventh chakra, right? Mm-hmm. Which that sounds really cool to me.
Can I have a question too? Are your eyes open or closed when you do it?
I close my eyes just because, again, I have a very extensive ego. And so anything that distracts me and gets the ego engaged, I have to disengage from it. What's interesting is if I'm doing a reading and my eyes start to divert off to the side someplace, as a rule, it means I'm reading. I'm reading something up here and I'm not fully present within the conversation. Mm-hmm. So I'm here, but I'm not here.
Which I think is helpful, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right, because that's the medium. Like, I am simply the medium delivering the message, which is different than channeling. I know the first time I saw someone channel with their eyes opened, it was a little freaky for me because that's not how I was taught. I was taught, you know, keep
I think the woman that does the Abraham.
Esther Hicks.
Esther Hicks. She has her eyes open, I'm pretty sure.
She's, yeah, that's a different.
But again, she is relaying information. So yeah. She's doing mediumship.
Yeah.
So the question on the floor is, why would you do this? Because it's fun.
Well, and because we can.
Because we can.
That's incredible. But could you get the same information, though?
It's a different experience. I think it's a different experience listening to it, and I think it's a different experience channeling it. So I channeled Mother Mary, and the room shifted in a way that I wouldn't have been able to create had I not stepped aside. And the scent of rose throughout the room, mm-hmm. it still gives me chills.
By room shifting, you know, I think what you mean, and I'm just going to clarify, you know what you mean. I know you do that.
I know you know what I mean.
But, and I think that's part of it. It's like when I work with Melchizedek, like when Melchizedek comes through, it is, channeling is a visceral experience.
Yes. Yes.
Where mediumship, you know, it's like we're having a conversation here. It's just, we're having a conversation with invisible beings. But in channeling, when I go out, it's not just that my voice might change or the nuances in my face, because your face actually will change depending on who comes in. But the actual energy, it's the energy of the room itself shifts to the point where the people sitting in the circle can't breathe sometimes because the energy is so intense. Now consider if it's intense for you, the viewer, as you're sitting in the collective, it's doubly intense for the person that's channeling, because that specific frequency, because that's what we're talking about with vibrations, that frequency is coming through and it is emanating within my body. So that for me is also one of the reasons that I do it, is because it raises the frequency of your body. And I believe that each one of us that raises our frequency, we shift and help the planet ascend, so that as we each raise, you know, if the three of us raise our frequency and we multiply, that's 30 times the frequency raising that was possible before now, okay?
Yeah.
That we've just developed a different frequency level on the planet itself and within our communities and within our families.
And there's no higher gift.
No.
There's no higher gift,
that's
right?
It.
I mean, that's the whole game. The whole game is frequency. It's so beautiful. Yeah. So beautiful. And I love how you talked about it as a cellular experience, because it's this upgrade. It's this energetic upgrade that is like a healing. It radiates out. Everyone experiences it. So great. And we'll be right back.
We are proud to associate with businesses that focus on the needs of this audience, like Boll & Branch.
With your help, they've put thousands of people to work around the world, from their pillows made in Cincinnati, Ohio, my hometown, to their mattresses made in Florida, Texas, and Arizona, since they started 6 years ago.
Starting and ending your day on these sheets or pillows is a great reminder of how good life can be and how great it will be tomorrow.
Thanks to being available online, BollandBranch.com is open for business, still shipping their sheets, pillows, and more fast and free anywhere in the USA.
Boll & Branch is still offering their 30-day guarantee. If you don't love them, you can return them for full refund. That's how good they are.
Remember, you'll only find Boll & Branch sheets online. It's spelled B-O-L-L and branch.com. If now's the time to make such a purchase, use your code INSIDER and get $50 off your very first set of sheets. Again, shipping is fast and free. Restrictions may apply. See BollandBranch.com for details.
Hello, this is Ron Burgundy, and you are listening to my voice, which commands trust and respect. Guess what? My podcast is back, and that's a win for everyone. Mainly for me because of the money, but also because I love to hear myself talk. And so do you. And if you're thinking it's time for a change in your insurance plan, be it automobile or home insurance, think no further than State Farm. You know the one with the catchy jingle, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm has been in the insurance game for more years than anyone on earth can remember. They aren't some fly-by-night operation offering suspect savings. They offer real service for classy people who want to be confident in what they are buying. I call it the State Farm difference. I don't know what they call it. I don't even know who runs the company. Maybe I should run the company. I would keep the jingle, Like a Good Neighbor, State Farm is there, but I would change the tune. Like a Good Neighbor, State Farm is there! That was better, right?
And welcome back. We have a story on deck. Patricia, yeah. What do you got?
Because we started off this conversation today talking about like ego also. And what does that look like? Because to me, ego is also a platform. And when I was first learning how to channel, I was really good at the co-residency that we were talking about. I was great with, I was working with a being called Master Tiemann. And so I was fine going up into my diamond and speaking with him. We were great up there. I was great, like doing the co-residency and talking to whoever was in front of me. But whenever it came time to go out of my body and have Tiemann come in, my throat would literally close. And I was I was choking. So I went and did a regression on it, past life regression.
Sure.
And the story goes, I'm not sure if Julie knows this one or not.
I don't know this, and I know all your good ones. So this is a nice surprise for me.
I have stories. Yeah.
I know. I love them.
Anyway, so what it is in the regression where I am all of a sudden now, I'm in this lifetime. I'm on Delphi. I'm in Delphi, and I'm sitting on the dais. I have long black hair. There are a number of young women that are standing around, and this man in like Roman garb comes. He puts he already has one foot on the step. He comes up another step. He pulls his sword and he goes, and he cuts off my head. And I literally, that's how long my hair was, like, because he cut off my head and my head went flipping over. And I came out of that lifetime and I was like, okay, wait a minute. I need to like take a breath here. That was a little intense. So the next time I had a session, I went back in with the person I work with, and because it was like, what was this? Because there was more to it. So when you do past life, you want to keep uncovering. And so I go back in, and what's happening is I am having an illicit affair with this Roman soldier. He's a captain or whatever it was.
Was he hot?
And he was hot. Yeah.
Good. I just want to double check. That's all I'm doing.
He was Peter in a past life.
Excellent.
And I know. Peter's killed me so many different times. It's like, you know. Anyway, we're having this affair and I'm not supposed to be having that. And he asks me, he's supposed to be going off on a campaign. And I tell him, don't go on the campaign. You will all die. And he doesn't like the outcome because this is how he's going to raise himself up in the ranks, blah, blah, for him. And so he comes back that day then. He wakes us all up in the morning. So now I have all of these young women in their bedclothes. And we're all sitting, you know, they're standing. And the soldiers now, I see soldiers with spears pointed at them to keep them at bay. And he says to me, do it again. In other words, channel again. Give me the message that I want. You know, and I go out of my body and spirit says to him, do not go on this campaign. You are going to die and all your troops will die. And he says, I can't have that. And he cuts off my head. So I go back in a third.
We're all like, I'm a little stunned silent. My mouth is like my jaws hitting my desk and I'm going,
I can see it.
No, I haven't heard this story.
Okay, but the point is that, you know, now you understand, it's like I have a little apprehension for going out of my body to channel because you're going to die. You know, when we have those kinds of deep, fearful experiences, you know, the memory rather.
And this gets carried through the DNA, right? It gets passed through the DNA. And this is the reason why this is such a perfect and beautiful role model of how to use past life regressions. People get so caught up in past life, you know, this and this and this and this in the past life. The question is, how is that impacting this life? It's the only life you can impact.
Right.
So they're too interested in learning if they were a
Cleopatra.
Exactly. They're way too interested in that or James Dean or whatever.
Yeah. Or Jesus.
No, it's about what is the lesson and how do I resolve the issue that wasn't healed?
And how can I heal and regain that energy that was lost and empower this life? That's such a beautiful thing. So what did you do with that, Patricia?
Okay. So I go back in for a third session. Because I'm still not done with this thing because I can feel that there's still something else there.
How did you feel it? How did it show up for you that there was still something there? Because you have two really powerful days.
Because my throat is still clogged.
There you go.
The issue, you know, this chakra was still like blocked. I still couldn't get that channeling done. Okay.
Yep.
So the third time I go in, because I understand also, and I think this is about past life. I think what's so important is that we understand that we had a part in it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's the other thing that I've heard, that I've learned about healing with past life work, is that I need to see what I did so that I can understand how I can grow beyond what that was, so I don't repeat the actions again, because otherwise I'm going to get myself in the same dilemma. So we don't want to do that.
No victims here, right?
No, only participants.
Right.
So So I go back in for the third time. And on the third trip in, now I am in spirit form and I am above this dais, and that, you know, the body's down there and the head's over there and all that shit.
And your hair is everywhere.
I know. That's why I keep my hair up probably. Anyway, now what happens is, now the spirit of the soldier is connecting with me in the upper dimensions. And now he's dead. Why is he dead? Because my fucking reading was correct to begin with, okay? He should not have gone on that campaign. He was going to die, and that's what he did. So now in this third session, and so the third time in now, he comes up and he says, you know, I am sorry that I did not listen and you paid the price for my arrogance. And that was the piece that completely, you know, it shifted everything.
The healing. So, the healing.
Right. Yeah. That's the healing, because now we have the past, present, future. We have resolved it. We have healed it. And yes, it was my husband, my current husband, Peter. And so, and he, in our early relationship, he used to try to stop me from speaking all the time, and my throat would close and I would go, I hate him, you know. So now I come back into my channeling experience, you know, and I'm still a little apprehensive, because let's not forget, I did die that time, you know. Yeah. And Tiamen says, I promise you, this will not happen again. You know, this is that place of trust. I promise you when you go out, we will guard you, you know, so that you are totally protected. And I used to check. It's like, I'd go out and go, okay, is everybody, you know, are they all up there to make sure that I'm protected? It's like, yes, they are. And I have more stories on that one, but yeah.
That's a great story. Yeah. It's such a beautiful story. Thank you so much for sharing. Again, what a beautiful, beautiful role model of how to use past life regressions to empower, heal, so that you can bring everything forward and acknowledge, like, the scar tissue you have now, and have so much compassion for it. It's actually wisdom. Right? It's actually wisdom that's overactivated, right? Not necessary in this lifetime and still there. Right. So, but being open to that healing, I love everything about
it. And I just made a note, that I think that we should bring back to everyone on the show, which is, there are no victims. There's only participants.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really important.
Yeah. No victims.
Yeah. It's a really important message for folks, because we like to play victims.
We like to blame.
We like to do all those things.
We need to add a couple words to that, though. There are no victims. Okay. There are no perpetrators. And there are no heroes. There are only participants.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
Because as long as you have those first three, you keep the triangle active.
Right.
And you will always have to recreate the thing. It's like, we need to take singular responsibility for ourselves. As long as I'm responsible for myself, whatever you're doing has no effect on me, because it can't.
Yeah. I either choose to activate it or not. Right.
Yes.
Right. And so if I engage, they call it the triangle of torment, right?
The triangle of torment.
And we'll be right back.
Looking our best means taking time for renewal, including skin renewal. But anti-aging retinol can be so harsh and irritating. Leave it to Burt's Bees to find nature's gentle yet powerful retinol alternative, Bakuchiol, and make it the key ingredient in their Burt's Bees Renewal skincare line. Bakuchiol is gentle on the skin and can be used every day and night. The Renewal line includes a firming moisturizing cream, refining cleanser, a firming eye cream, and more. All formulated without parabens, phthalates, SLS, and petrolatum. For anyone looking to reduce the look of fine lines and wrinkles and to firm and brighten their skin, Burt's Bees Renewal skincare line is the natural choice. Just go to burtsbees.com/renewal and take time for renewal today. Burt's Bees Renewal skincare line with Bakuchiol, a powerful retinol alternative that's gentle by nature. That's burtsbees.com/renewal.
People, if you're not watching NBC Songland, you're missing a life-changing music competition unlike anything else on TV. From the network that brings you The Voice, Songland is the only show where unknown songwriters compete to write the next hit for superstar artists like Usher, Boyz II Men, Bebe Rexha, Her, Luis Fonsi, and more. They will literally create their next hit before your eyes. America loves Songland because it shows the magic of making a hit song. From a songwriter's idea to working with Grammy-winning producers and recording with superstar artists. Behind every hit song is a songwriter with a dream. This is the only show where you can literally watch those dreams become reality. Don't miss the all-new season of Songland. Music starts here. Mondays after The Voice on NBC and now streaming. And catch NBC's Songland podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back with Take It to the Bankins, Patricia, who has the best license plate of anyone that I know. Because I just have to, because this is the one of the greatest things. When I first met you, because you own the Crystal Matrix in Atwater Village. I've talked about you before. You're in my book, all the things. But for those who may not know, you are the empress of really Pasadena in general. I wouldn't just say Atwater Village. But so when I first met you, you would park your car in the alleyway. And correct. You said one day to me, oh, come out here. And you were at your car. And I look and I see your license plate. And I said, my goodness. And you go, what? And I said, you just proclaimed you're Christ Lady. Where'd you get that from? And then you said, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I meant to get it as Crystal Lady. So I had, because all my emails are Crystal Lady. Because I am the Crystal Lady. That's, you know, and I guess I spelled it wrong for those little condensed things are for the.
Well, you only get seven letters.
Yeah, well, I should have traded one letter for another letter, I think, to make it Crystal Lady, to have read correctly. My children were very perturbed that I did it wrong. But it says Christ Lady. And so, you know, I've gone on a couple of times to the DMV to think, I should change this. And I get right to the point and I go, no, I shouldn't. Because it's too much fun.
That's amazing. And don't they say instead of Christ Lady, they go Christ Lady.
They do. They give me a bunch of crap. Yeah, they do.
No,
I love that.
So, like we started this conversation kind of at a PhD level. So I'm going to bring us back a little bit. At one point you had to learn how to do this. How did you learn? Because I know that so many of our listeners are so curious about our journeys, our paths, how we get to where we are in terms of the other side or in spirituality, metaphysical, whatever you want to call it. So how did you find out about this? And you have to learn from someplace. So how do you find a place to learn how to do it?
Well, I mean, I'm a born intuitive. I heard voices and I saw things as a child.
So I understand.
I turned it off. Yeah, I turned it off because my mother used to threaten me with the insane asylum. And I share that when I teach because I think there are a lot of us that have these gifts that have been shut down, annihilated on many levels to make us feel crazy or bad. And we're not. We just are able to see between the worlds. And we don't discuss that in our society. It's not something that's formed. So,
And I just want to say, I want to say two things about that. One is, we've talked about this before, when that happens, and I believe it does happen a lot, the parents are really trying to take care of the child because they can't keep you safe if you're like, hey, did you know the spirit's talking to you and why aren't you paying attention, right? So they're trying to keep you safe. At the best, you know, cut of what's going on. And at the lowest cut, they're terrified.
They're absolutely terrified.
They are freaked out.
I scared my mother.
It's not in the parenting books. What in the world am I going to do with this kid? Right? Shut that shit down. Like, that's what they're trying to do. Like, because I'm way out of my league. I gotta stop this.
Yeah, I think they simply relate to the danger on those multiple levels, either because they're afraid that's dangerous or because something could happen. I mean, if you're in certain areas of this country or of the world and you started doing that, you know, you would
be, I mean,
how many people died as witches? How many people have been exorcists? You know, it goes on and on.
So I just want to call that out. I think it's important to understand.
Because the parents aren't they're not bad, they're broken. Well, they're broken, you know, someone has broken them. Because let's think about it. It's like, I didn't come into this just out of the blue. I have to have some kind of genetics that says that memory, that lifetime after lifetime, but also the parents would also have these kinds of gifts, but they have been subverted also.
Without a doubt.
So we're back to, you know, no victims, no perpetrators.
And no heroes.
Yeah. So then 35, 36 years ago, I had a spiritual crisis. And after I kind of woke back up, I turned everything back on, or it started turning itself on. I didn't have anything to do with it really. I had a friend that said, "Hey, I'm going to a channeling. You want to go?" And so I went to the channeling and I thought, this is great. I want to do this.
I'm home.
And exactly. And the person was teaching. And so I took a class. And I will tell you also, again, my husband really disagreed with this. He was afraid that I was going to leave him. And because he was frightened and he didn't understand it. So I would lie. I don't share this a lot, but, you know, I would lie. He would say, "Where are you going?" I'd say, "I'm going out to dinner with friends." And I was. We went to dinner after the class. So, you know, it was kind of like lying by omission or telling the truth by omission, depending on how you want to look at it. And that's how I first met, you know, my first spirit teacher, which was Master Tiemann. I did co-residency with him. Yeah. And he was, again, if we talk about that trust thing that we started in the beginning, the first night, another story, sorry.
We love stories.
Yeah, bring it.
The first night that I had met him, I had done the channeling, but I had gone into the process that I was being taught. And I came back into the room as with the rest of the students. And I had a friend that was with me, and she had like, because I should have some big Native American chief. That was my thought. And she got the big Native American chief. Okay. And she's like this little wimpy chick. And I get this little Chinese man. And so I come back from the meditation and I say to my teacher, "I have the wrong person. I shouldn't have
ego. No ego at all."
Thank you. I'm so glad you recognize that. And, so I said, "I've got the wrong one." And she said, "No, I don't think so. This is the one that wants to work with you." And I was like, "Oh, God, it's a little Chinese man." You know, and he had the long fingernails and he was all elaborate. And I was like, So I go to sleep that night. There's no judgment in my ego, by the way, either.
Because,
you know, I have plans for shit, and this was not in part of my plans. So as I'm starting to go to sleep that night, you know, there's that point where, like, you're in this world, and there's, like, kind of a tunnel for me, and I'm going into the dream world, okay? And as I'm starting to kind of go into the middle of this tunnel, there is this enormous dragon head.
I can see it. That's awesome.
I mean, I will never forget this. It was this huge fucking dragon head, and he's right in front of me. So I can't. And I pulled myself back into consciousness, and I woke myself up, and I was like, "What the fuck?" You know. So I'm like, "Okay." And so I started to go to sleep again because it's late and I'm tired, you know. And I started to go back through that tone. This fucking dragon is there again, you know. And I hear Tiemann laughing. He's like going, "Ha ha ha ha," you know. And I'm like, "What?" So I call at 2 a.m. in the morning. I call my teacher. If somebody did this to me, I mean, that's why my phone is turned off at 10 p.m. But I call my teacher and I said, I have a problem. I have this huge dragon that will not let me go into the dream time because, you know, it's like, what the hell is going on? She said, "That's Master Tiemann." And I'm like, "No, he's this little," she said, "I don't know. You need to work with this. Ask him the questions. There's nothing scary about it. He's not an English dragon. He's a Chinese dragon." And that's who he was. He would shapeshift into this dragon. He was the keeper of the jewels during the Tang Dynasty. So he would shift into this huge dragon and we would play with the dragon thing. And that made me go into a place of trust or not do the work at all.
Yeah. And he's a powerhouse, right? Just master. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
And then how do
and
you
And a trickster.
Find...
A trickster to boot.
Oh,
right?
Definitely.
Like
trickster.
A good trickster. Yeah. And I love how shitty you were about him in the beginning. That's fantastic.
Yeah. You know, and I think that's important for people to know. Yeah, you don't have to go into it all airy fairy.
It's very on brand with you, just so you know. It's very, very on brand. You being pissed off about what spirit wants to communicate with you,
and
work with you through
yes.
channeling, an opinion about it—that's awesome. Hilarious.
That's
and so, and then you went from student to teacher,
right?
So because I that's how I met you. Well, I mean, you're the reigning goddess of Atwater Village, but
not anymore. We closed down.
That's Right? Put a tarp over the front. And
I did, yeah.
So crazy. Which actually gets us to more of today, where, you know, the most recent master spirit, I guess, that you started communicating with just recently, too, is the Divine Mother.
Yeah.
Patricia, so the Divine Mother. So we were just getting into talking about what you see, like, and how do you know when there's a new one that wants to communicate with you? Like, how do you know? How do you know that's the right way to go? How do you know that you're not being drawn into, you know, the great channeling abyss and you'll never come back? That's a movie,
you know,
I think. But go ahead.
That's a brilliant question, because that was, you know, especially because Tiamen was such a trickster in the beginning. I was taught to say, do you come in the name of the Christ? You know, when I was up in the diamond above my head, you know, and spirit was coming in, and I had a few spirits come in that were not mine. You know, they just wanted to intrude, and that happens to people.
They get very curious, right? They get very excited when you see them, and they're like, I want to play. I don't care what your vibe is.
Some of it is that, but some of it is also you have negative, non-beneficent beings that want to take over the body or the person, the soul of that is trying to connect with spirit. And that is, you know, I think that's a valid piece of apprehension for people that want to do this work. So how do you create that boundary for people? You know, how do they learn to create their own boundary so that they feel safe and protected? And that's a whole other conversation, I think. So.
Yeah, because this is not something to be tried at home without lots of training, lots of practice.
No.
Do not try this at home. Alone.
Yeah.
Alone. Well, not in the beginning, because that's why we don't play with Ouija boards, because
anyone can come in.
You will conjure something up. You will absolutely conjure something up.
Who but thinks that's a toy? It? Yeah, it's not
you
a
know,
toy.
And no, it's not a toy. It's in the toy section.
Crazy.
So, you know, if you're conjuring, then what is your intention? So that's the other place. It's like the intention that someone puts into this work is vital, because it allows them to set the parameters and the boundaries by which they're going to actually complete the work, or have this, how successful they're going to be. I mean, all of those things start to come into it. And if they just go in with, well, I'm just going to do this, it's like, yeah, you are. And I do not want to be there when it goes down, because you have not set the intention or been respectful of what this is, because this is real. You've not been respectful of the reality of it, and you could place yourself in harm or place your loved ones in harm.
Do you send them to exorcism school after that?
Yeah,
when they go into that type of attitude?
Exactly.
Yeah, actually, I just walk away. I'm like, see ya. Irresponsible spiritual practices. Bye-bye.
It is
absolutely, setting the intention is super important, but it's also embodying, right? Because we talked about it's all frequency, it's all vibration. And so you have to embody that intention. You have to be able to raise your frequency, raise that vibration, and then hold it.
Right. So there's a couple of conversations we've had then. It's like, why do we do this? You know, well, we do it to raise our frequency and raise our vibration and be helpful on the planet. So, you know, I've worked from Master Tiamen, I've worked through Jesus, I've worked with Saint Germain. I've then went from Saint Germain to Melchizedek. Each one of these beings has a higher and higher frequency, you know, and I couldn't have gone from one without having mastered the other one. And usually it's like when I worked with Master Tiamen for 10 years, and I was bereft when he was ready to leave. And, you know, and he was ready to leave because his karma had been paid by working with me. We had had a karmic agreement that he would show back up for me and teach me certain things. So that meant that as we evolve on the planet, we think that that's so exclusive, and it's not.
No.
Spirit is evolving on the other planes also, depending on how they have interacted with us. So, you know,
same
we
with
are
our guides, right?
Yep.
Exactly. We're co-resonating.
I mean, we all have this.
In the galaxy, yes.
Yeah, we talk about Earth school, but there's still spirit school too.
Absolutely. Yeah. So Melchizedek then raised it up. So I have this being, probably last year she started coming in. And she was, I was aware of her. She was like this blue gaseous form. You know, I was working with someone and she said, I see her. I said, I do too, but I don't know who it is, because it wasn't giving me a name. So I kept going through, like, she's like, she's a goddess. It's a goddess energy. So I was like, I went through all the goddesses and goddesses, and, you know, and every time it'd be like, nope, that's not it. Nope, that's not it. And finally, when I was able to hear, or she was willing to speak, you know, she identified, because I was like, well, is your name this? Is your name? And she was like, no, just call me Divine Mother of the Galactic Universe. Now, I thought that was a little pretentious. Just
you get points for consistency, my dear. That's awesome.
That's
amazing.
That is awesome.
And, well, come on. It's like when you're channeling somebody who says, I'm God. It's like, well, good for you. You know.
Yeah. Aren't we all?
Are we all? Exactly. And so the dialogue with her then is like, she has no form. She is like a nebula out in the galaxy. So she is these gases, these turquoise and blue and purple and lavender gases that float around and create formlessness, a form out of formlessness, or formlessness out of form. I'm not sure how I want to play, but I mean, she's there, but she has no solidity at all because A, she has never lived in physical form. She has no specific name. She said she chooses not to have a specific name because name creates ego. Once you have name and it creates ego, it then creates the divisiveness that separates one person or one being from another being. So she allows herself just to be this large entity of energy, and she has voice, and she is, you know, she is the creation or the creator of all. That's what she specifies.
I have noticed in the years of me reading your channelings, because you record these when you do them, correct? Like you do an audio
correct.
Recording.
Well, I do automatic writing. I write it down. I don't.
Got it.
Yeah.
And so I've been reading these from you for years because you will do them monthly, you know, mm-hmm. for the Crystal Matrix. And I've really seen an escalation. And obviously where our world is now, it makes sense that there was an escalating that was happening, right? Mm-hmm. But the escalation and what the Divine Mother has to communicate versus the other masters that you've worked with, because when you said you're graduating to another frequency, they read as if you are starting in like a freshman in college and now you're mm-hmm. going up to mm-hmm. get your PhD, because that's what they sound like to me. When you read yeah. them, they're all so incredibly insightful. Like there was one that you did, and I always say his name wrong, Melchizedek. Melchizedek. I used to call him Lord M, if you recall,
that
because
works.
I could
yeah,
never pronounce yeah. his name. But his one of the ones that it was one of my favorites was a few years ago where he talked about chaos and yeah. to not be fearful of chaos, because chaos is happening all around us. If you think about the asteroids that don't hit our planet that could, if you think about how we move around the sun and we have a moon that moves around us, and it's all chaotic, but it's all okay.
Right. Like it's all in perfect order. Yes.
It's all in perfect order. It's like perfect chaos. It was really incredible. And then of course what we shared with our audience that you shared about COVID-19 was, it has so helpful. It was incredible for me personally, but all the messages that we've gotten back, all the notes, all the DMs, emails for me, LinkedIn, from our listeners, that it was so helpful for them. Like there were some
really,
that woke up.
It was really healing.
It was so healing. They yeah, woke up really wanting to know what to do with this. So and this was the piece.
Let's remind our audience how they can have access or gain access to these channelings.
So yes, I actually have a lot of ways to find Patricia, because Patricia is not just the owner of my favorite metaphysical supply store, the Crystal Matrix, that our house is adorned in, but she's also a teacher and she has a podcast. And so here are the different ways to find everything Patricia. So Instagram handle is Patricia Ashimi Bankin. So PatriciaAshimeBankins. I'll put these on our Instagrams so I don't have to spell everything. The store handle on Instagram is Crystal Matrix LA. The website is thecrystalmatrix.com, where you can also find her podcast there, and you can also buy a whole bunch of stuff, which I encourage everyone to do right now, because they are shipping.
They are shipping, yep.
And then also you're working to provide web classes for people, because your teaching has always been in person. I mean, that's how I was so fortunate to spend so much time with you, is that, you know, your classroom in the back of the store, you have multiple rooms back there, but the major classroom back there is where I really have most of my memories of living in Los Angeles, is actually in your store.
So this
will be the first time you're going to start really looking at the more long distance learning. So that's another thing that I think that you are perhaps looking at.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting right now also because energy is energy. You know, there's neither good energy nor bad energy. It's only the intention. And so energy has no parameter. It has no limitation. And that's what I think is really interesting, because I've always taught, I like to teach, you know, person to person. I like to have that heart to heart connection. I can feel that my students as they're sitting in my class. It's always fun to see if I've answered the question that you have in your mind before you open your mouth to ask it. You know, I mean, we all have our little games when we do this work. So I've had a chance now to teach. I just taught a Reiki 1 class on the weekend. And the weekend before that, I did a Dragonstone. I taught the Dragonstone Oracle, which is pulling stones to like a tarot deck, but it's pull stones. You know, and the energy was right on. It was just as easy to connect with the student virtually as it was to connect with them in an actual room. And I also do readings. I mean, I do readings. I can do a phone reading. I've done that for years. So it's the same concept.
The same. Yep.
So I wonder if part of what we are doing collectively is playing with the energy of 3D, as I think we're like, we're cocooned in, we've been taken down from interaction with 3D reality, so that we can raise our consciousness to 4D and then 5D.
So a lot of people that listen to the show are all on their spiritual journey. Just how, like, when you guys found me, curled up in a ball.
That's awesome.
Because that's how I was.
I want to say, I mean, Brenda and I are both on our spiritual journey also.
Of course. Gotcha.
There's not a person here that's not on that journey.
Yeah. Exactly.
So I think that maybe the fair way to say it is that the people who listen are aware that they're on their mm-hmm. spiritual journey, and they want to progress through their journey. And the question that I get most is, where can I find teachers? How can I find a class? How can I do this? And so I'm going to make sure that we let everybody know where to find you. And I think to find your classes, Patricia, is thecrystalmatrix.com. Is that where to get?
There's that. And I also have a website, which is patricia-bankins.com. That's my personal website.
And we'll put both of those
on it,
on our website, when we post this episode.
Yes.
Okay.
We'll make sure everybody.
So,
and then also folks can look for Brenda too and see what Brenda's teaching. Like, between the two of you, there can't be anything that is left undone in terms of different classes.
I have a new meditation series that's going to be released in just a matter of days. So I'm really excited about that. So
that's fantastic. Yeah. Like, these are the tools that people need. And I can say this because I am the product of you two. So if you two are like my spiritual parents. But it's true. Yeah, no, you're welcome, by the way, for getting credit. So screw you, Patricia. Christ lady.
Christ lady.
Christ lady.
Christ.
This is awesome.
But I am very much a product of both of you. And I couldn't have asked for two better teachers to have in my life. To have uncurled me from, you know, rocking back and forth, staring at the corner of the wall, but you're who I learned from, and I wasn't somebody who was born with the gifts that knew that they were there, right? Mm-hmm. I played golf, like that was my gift. My gift to the world is I can hit a golf ball 300 yards when there's wind behind my
back.
But
it has an instinct to it, and you need to credit that.
For sure.
And it saved your life, right?
Yes,
it saved your life.
It did save
my life. There's that. Yeah.
But I say this, because those who are also searching, those who are wanting to, and I'm speaking to our listeners, I'm going to put my hand over you two. For those that want to, continue their path and find those that can help them through that, these are the ladies to go to. And I can attest from my own personal experience that they, in many ways, I can't say save my life, but save my soul. And helped it evolve. And I'm so grateful that you've been with us, Patricia.
Thank you.
It's been
I know
such
this
a
is not
treat
our first
to
time
meet
around.
You. It's just such a joy. I've heard so much about you, and it's a real treat to meet you.
And wait till you meet her husband, Peter.
Can't wait.
He's amazing. He also taught me how to polish rocks. So
nice.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's talk about the gift that keeps on giving. So with that, do you have anything that you guys feel the left unsaid, because God knows Patricia would love to have you back.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
But for this particular episode, if there's anything left unsaid, now is your moment.
You know, what I'm really working on right now is putting together like short little hour classes for people like your listeners, yeah, that, you know, just beginning stuff like, you know, the correct way to smudge or how to build a grid or, you know, like an introduction.
Sweet.
I have a very basic introduction to crystals class on, you know, how to program it and how to charge it and do it. So I'm going to put those together. I haven't, you know, I'll talk to you and we'll coordinate some time.
That's so great. Thank you for doing that.
I will definitely attend, because you can always use another class by Christ Lady. Because
awesome.
Now everybody, so Brenda calls me her elf. She's my witchy poo, and you're now Christ Lady. No one's going to know anybody's name, I think, by the end of this, whenever, however long the show has its life for.
Yeah, go to our Insider's Guide to the Other Side website. We'll have all the links there.
That's right. That's right. We'll put them on Instagram too.
Thank you so much, Patricia. What a joy.
Thank you for having me. It has been a pleasure.
Thank you, my elf, for bringing us all together. And thank you to our listeners. And remember, Earth School is hard
without the other side.
Thanks for joining us, everyone. And a special thanks to our producer, Maya Cole, who guides us while we guide you.
Hit us up on Instagram at OtherSideGuides. Or shoot us a note at othersideguides@iheartradio.com. And you can even call us at 833-22-GUIDE to leave us a message.
We want to know what you think. We want to know what you know. And we want to hear your stories.
And remember,
Earth School is hard
without the other side. Insider's Guide to the Other Side is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We call them small businesses, but maybe we need a better name, because these businesses are powering America right now, getting people the things they need, and in return, getting the business they need to keep going. And that's no small thing. eBay, where America's small businesses live.
Hi, this is Newt Gingrich, inviting you to listen to my free weekly podcast called Newt's World. Every Sunday, we will explore topics and issues that are relevant to your life. And as a historian, I will offer stories and context of how the past influences our present and future. Download Newt's World on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, newtsworld.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.